We learned a lot of Gemara Erevin. We learned a lot of Dinim Deraisa and a lot of Dinim Derabanan and the blend of Dinim Deraisa, Dinim Derabanan. We didn't finish, by far we didn't finish everything, but we certainly scratched the surface. We scratched more than the surface, but we'll have to try again some other time in the future to learn some more Erevin. Okay. This Gemara is much easier. Saita, we'll start from Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. The second half of Saita is much easier than Erevin. Okay, so we'll have a break. Rabbi Jacobowitz has Yahrzeit for his father, so we dedicate the learning. The Mishnah is discussing different mitzvahs of Kriya or Amira, mitzvah that's fulfilled by speaking or by reading. When does it have to be fulfilled in the original Hebrew? And when can you fulfill a mitzvah in translation? So we learned many years ago, we learned brachas. That was a long time ago also. So brachas, there's a machlokes hatanaim. The Gemara quotes it over here also regarding kriyashma. Kriyashma, you're only yotzei if you're laying the psukim from the chumash. You can't just say the theme that's contained in the kriyashma. Can't just say we believe in monotheism and we love God and we have to put on tefillin shel yad and we have to put on tefillin shel rosh and we have to put on a mezuzah on the door. That's not enough. We have to learn Torah and teach Torah. That's not enough. You have to recite the pasuk kichsavoy, or that's the machlekes Rabbi Nachacham. Can you fulfill mitzvah kriyashma in translation? But if you hold we paskin, you can fulfill kriyashma in translation, but it has to be a literal translation, word for word translation of the pasuk of Shema Yisrael. Why is this in the end of Masechus? So it should be in Brachas, in the beginning of Brachas, when they talk about the second paragraph in Brachas, when they have the Machlokes HaTanaim, where the Kriya Shema can be fulfilled in translation or only in the original Hebrew. So they should have this whole discussion of all of the other mitzvahs. What's it doing in Saita? Because the beginning of Masechus Saita talks about the husband is choshed his wife biznus, and he takes her to the Beis HaMikdash. He should drink the Maim HaMarim. So the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash has to give her a drasha. He has to say what it says in the Chumash. And has to say, do you swear that you were not Mezana? And if you were Mezana, you accept upon yourself the punishment and the curse that she's going to die from the Maim HaMorim. So the question is, when the Kohen speaks to the woman, does he have to speak Dafke in the original Hebrew the way it says in the Chumash, or can he speak in translation? So the din is that Parsha Saita, when the Kohen gives the Musa Drosha and the Shvuah to the Saita, that can be said in translation. That's not a Machlokes, all the Tanaim agree. So this is Masecha Saita, and that's given that the Kohen Hamadabra El Ho'isha can deliver his Drosha in translation. So Agav Saita, so the Mishnah goes through all the other mitzvahs of Kriya. So the Mishnah lists off the two categories, Eila Namor and B'chol Loshon. The following mitzvahs in Masechus Saita, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that there is a Gemara that says, the Mishnah says that Parsha Saita can be recited in translation, and there's a Tshuvas HaRashba where he points out a Gemara. Rav Soloveitchik didn't sit and read Tshuvas HaRashba's, but the Afikayam quotes this. Afikayam was a Rav in Europe after the First World War. So he writes in his Tshuvas, the Rashba in the Tshuva quotes a Gemara that the Shem Hashem was pronounced in the Beis HaMikdash Kichsava, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Not only the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur pronounced Kishoy Shem is Hashem Mepharish Yetz Mepin Kohen Gadol Kichsavai, but every day when they were Duchen, those Kohanim who knew what the pronunciation was were pronounced the Shem Mepharish. So the Gemara seems to say the same is true regarding Parsha Saito. When the Kohen was Mashbir the Saito, they pronounced the Shem Hashem Kichsavai. If a person drinks a cup of coffee in the Beis HaMikdash and he says a bracha shakol niyeh b'dvara, so he doesn't have to say the Shem Hashem kichzavai in the Beis HaMikdash, the drinking the cup of coffee didn't have to take place in the Beis HaMikdash. The duchening is connected with the hakrovas hakarbonis. That's the pasuk that says in Parsha Shmini, that at the conclusion of hakrovas karbonis tzibur he's supposed to duchen. So the duchen is the kiyum in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur can only do the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. You can't do it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. The Shavuos HaSoito has to take place dafka in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rashba quotes a Gemara that seems to say that the kohen who was mashbir the woman pronounced the Shem Hashem kichsavoy. So that's what the Afikayam is bothered with the kasha. Why does he have to say kichsavoy? But the whole Shavuos HaSoita can be said in translation. So why doesn't he say the Shem Hashem in translation? So the answer is, that's what the Rav said in the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, his father. There's no translation for a name. Let's say Moshe Rabbeinu's name was Moshe. So in English we give a translation Moses. There's no translation. Moses is not a translation for Moshe. A name is a name. There's no way to translate a name. If you have a word, this is a book. So you can say in English, you can say in another language, it's a sefer. You can say in French, whatever it is, in Spanish. Every language, but if you have a person's name, so name is a name. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Zayin Shem Shein Nimchakim, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be translated. So that's what the Rav said. Let's say, if you say in Kriya Shema translation, you have an art scroll, and the person doesn't know how to read the Hebrew, so he's going to say in the English. So you can't say, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He has to say, Hashem Elokeinu is one. He can't say, Lord and God. Lord is not a translation of Hashem, and God is not a translation of Elokeinu. There is no translation. Okay, the Goyim use their own words, but that's not a translation of Hashem, it's not a translation of Elokeinu. The seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Gemara talks about, Zayin Shemus, Sheinu Nimchakim, the names that you're not allowed to erase. The Pasuk says, when we come to Eretz Yisrael, we have to destroy all the Avodah Zoras, and not only destroy, you have to destroy the names of the Avodah Zoras. The very next Pasuk says, Losasin Kein L'Hashem Elokeichem. So what does it mean, Losasin Kein? So it means you're not allowed to break up Mizbeach, you're not allowed to destroy a Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to destroy a shul, and the Baratim Em Shmam, you're not allowed to erase the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the Gemara discusses, what are the Baratim Em Shmam, you have to destroy the name of Avodah Zarah. Then the next pasuk says, L'Sasin Kein L'Hashem Elokechem, you're not allowed to destroy Shem Hashem. So the Gemara gives you a list of what are the names, what are the official names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in Yerudeya, in the third Chelek Yerudeya, in Hilchas Sefer Torah, they quote from the Gemara, from the Rambam, the Zayin Shemus, Shein and Mechotim, the seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So those names are proper nouns, those are names, so there's no translation. Yudke Vavke, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Elakim, Shakai, Tzvokos, there's no translation. They have meanings. Yudke Vavke means Hayahoyva Vihiya, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud means Adon HaKol, the master of the whole universe, but there's no translation for a name. That's the interpretation. That's what the name means. But you can't translate a name. So that's what the Rav said. When you want to say Kriya Shma translation, you can translate everything, but every time it has a Shem Hashem, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem has to be said in the original. That's what the Afikayam points out in this Tshuvas HaRashbo, that the Shavuos HaSoita can be said in translation. If she doesn't understand Hebrew, you have to talk to her in the language that she understands. But the Shem Hashem had to be said, had to be pronounced, Kichsovei, because there is no translation for Shem Hashem.
But things like Elokeinu, which is essentially, if you say it's a noun, and also had the Nun Vav part of it, which is our, so you have to say the English, our Elokim?
Our Elokim? Okay, yeah. You can say that. You can say our Elokim, or say Elokeinu, either one or the other. That's a question. There are different girsas in the Rambam. Which are the Zayin Shemus, Shein Nimchakim? How do you count seven? So one girsa has it that Elokim is one name and Elokeinu is another name. Why are they two different names? It's Elokim and this is the possessive. So the Vilna Goyen and others talk about that. The Achranim talk about that. Why should they be counted as two different Shemus? Elokim and Elokeinu, or Eloka and Elokai. Why those two different Shemus? So that's a discussion on Poskim. So Nachman, so the Mishnah is listing off various mitzvahs of Amira or Kriya. Sometimes it's a mitzvah of Kriya to read something from a Sefer Torah. And sometimes it's a mitzvah of Amira to pronounce. You say a bracha, you don't have to recite from a siddur. So the Mishnah says, Ve'elan Amar Mechalosh, and the following mitzvahs of Amira can be fulfilled in other languages as well. It doesn't have to be davka in the original Hebrew. So it starts off, Parsha Soita. That's why it's in Masecha Soita. When the Kohen speaks to the woman, first he gives her a Musa Shmuz, and he tells her, you know, preachers comes from the society, the rotten society, and you shouldn't have fallen in with this. He gives a whole drasha. The Gemara is going to say what the drasha is. And then he says the Shvuah, the text of the Shvuah that appears in the Chumash. So the Musa Shvuah that he gives, that there is no text for that. So Fashteitzach, that can be delivered in any language. But even the Shvuah that has to be recited word for word, the way it says in the Chumash, that can also be recited in translation, word for word translation. Has to be an accurate translation. So the Parsha Sota can be recited. The Kohen can give the Musa Shmuas and recite the Shvuah in translation. Vidui Meiser, Rashi explains, every seventh year is a Shemitah year. So the Hafrashas, Trumas, and Meisres is a function of which Shemitah year it is. If it's the first or the second year, last year was Shemitah, no? Tavshin Samaches. So this year is the first year. So the first and the second year following Shemitah, Yemafrish Truma Gedoyla, Meiser Rishon, and Meiser Sheni. The third year, instead of Meiser Sheni, Mafrish Meiser Oni. Then the fourth and the fifth years are a repeat of the first and the second years. Yemafrish Truma Gedoyla, Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni. And the sixth year is a repeat of the third year. Yemafrish Meiser Oni. And the seventh year, everything is Hefke, you're not Mafrish anything. So the Chumash says that these are three units. The seven-year period is a unit of 7 years, a Shemitah. So it's divided up into three units, 3 years and 3 years and 1 year. So after the first unit is up, after the 3 years are up, at Rosh Hashanah, at the beginning of the fourth year, you have a half a year from Rosh Hashanah until Erev Pesach to give away whatever matonis you haven't given away. It may have already gotten rotten. If he's saving fruits and vegetables from 2 years ago, from 3 years ago, may have already spoiled, it's not Roy Lachil anymore. But if you still have Truma Gedoyla, Maisa Rishon, Maisa Sheni, whatever you have, so you have to, Truma Gedoyla, Maisa Rishon, you have to give away to the Kohanim and to the Levim. The Maisa Sheni, you have to bring it to Yerushalayim and hurry up and eat it. You're not allowed to wait till after the Shas Habir. The Shas Habir is Pesach of the fourth year and Pesach of the seventh year. So after the unit of the first 3 years they give you, the Torah gives you half a year to give everything away and to eat up all of Maaser Sheni by Pesach of the fourth year. And after the unit of the next 3 years, you have till Pesach of the seventh year. So on Erev Pesach, they used to recite Vidui Meiser. That's a text that appears in the Chumash. B'yarte HaKodesh Min Abayis. He doesn't have to read it from the Sefer Torah. If he doesn't know Baal Peh, he has to look in the Sefer Torah. Okay, but if he knows it Baal Peh, there's no need to... It's not Kriyas HaTorah. It's like a Kiddush, like we can recite Kiddush. Okay, like Kol HaMirah. Kol HaMirah, there's no specific text. We have a text printed, yeah. But here, there's a specific text that has to, like we say by Chulu, has to be a specific text. So the Vidui Maisa, the Gemara is going to learn now. The Mishnah is going to explain. We learn that from Pesukim, the Vidui Maisa can be fulfilled in translation if he doesn't understand the Hebrew. Kriyas Shema is a Machlekes HaTanoim. So the Mishnah paskens that Kriya Shema can be fulfilled in translation. Tefillah means davening the Shemoneh Esrei. So the Shemoneh Esrei was the Shemoneh Esrei is not from Tanakh. It's not, you can't say you need Kichzavoy. It's not from Tanakh, but it's the text was composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So you have to recite the Shemoneh Esrei v'chatchila in the text that they composed. So the Mishnah tells us if you say Shemoneh Esrei in translation, it's also good. Berachas Hamazon also, it's not Kichzavoy. But it's a nusach that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah composed, so you can fulfill that mitzvah in translation. The next two are very difficult, what they're doing in the Mishnah. Shuas Eidus and Shuas HaPikodin. Shuas Eidus is like this. I have a din Torah with somebody, and he really owes me money, but I have to prove it. And the Bezin is not going to award me the money unless I bring evidence. So I come to you, and I say, remember, he borrowed money from me, or he smashed into my house and he was mazik me and he owes me all this money. Bo v'heiduni, come and testify on my behalf. So if they know, if the Yadim that I come to know, that they remember what happened, and they refuse to testify, and they say, Shvua she'inana yoidim l'chaydis. They swear we don't know anything, they don't want to get involved. So they swear falsely, we don't know anything all about the whole story, and the Mela, I lose the money. If I have, there are 10 witnesses, and the first 8 say, we swear we don't know anything about it. I have another 2 witnesses. I'm going to win the case anyway based on the other 2 witnesses. So then there's no din of Shvuas Eidus. But if these are the only people that I'm relying on, and they all swear falsely, we don't know anything about it because they don't want to get involved. And then later on they do tshuva, and it's already too late. Once they said in front of Bezin, Shvuas Eidus, so Rashi writes on the Gemara Shvuas, Kim Shigid, Shem Ben Achayzah Magid. If they already told the Bezin, we don't know anything about the case, They want to go to say later, oh yeah, we remember. What do you mean you remember? You just swore that you don't know anything about it. All of a sudden they remember everything. So they were mafsid me, all of the mammon. The din of Shua said this only applies when I have a din Torah against someone else. Let's say, I come and testify that I'm the biggest tzaddik in the world. That I say Krishna takes me an hour. Come and testify that I say the best shiur in the world. Come and testify that I'm a kohen, that they should give me the first aliyah. That's not dini mammonis. If it's covered, come and testify, I always get mafta yoinot. So they should give me mafta. That's not a dini mammonis digazah. The only time there's a din of Shua Seydis is if I say bo veheiduni, come and testify in an issue of dini mammonis, and they refuse to testify, and they swear falsely Shua and in the yodim l'chaedus. Then later on they do tshuva and they realize that they were mafsid me the mammon because of their Shua sheker. So the Torah prescribes that they have to bring a special korban, a chatas ol v'yorid. It's at the end of Parshas Vayikra. Chatas ol v'yorid means if they can afford it, they bring a chatas behema, and if they can't afford it, they bring a chatas oif. Then if they can't afford that, then they bring a minchas chayte. Okay. There's Ashiris Dallas and Dali Dallas. You have in this week's Sedra, you have the Yoledes, then you have the Metzoira, next week's Sedra. So it's also Oyla V'yorid, but you don't have Ashiris Dallas and Dali Dallas. You only have Ashiris and Dallas. If she can, if the Yoledes, my wife had 9 babies, and so when the Beis HaMikdash will be built, so my wife will be happy to bring 9 sets of karbonis. You mukhiv every baby that you have, or if you have twins, so you only, it's cheaper by the dozen. If you have 2 or 3 at a time, you only mukhiv to bring 1 set of karbonis. You only have to bring 1. The Mishnah says that they used to charge, outrageous prices for the korbanos. So the Tanoim wanted to knock down the prices. So they said falsely that a woman had 9 babies, only has to bring 1 set of korbanos, and that's all. So if you have a large demand, so then they can charge more money. If the demand goes down, instead of bringing 9 sets of korbanos, she only has to bring 1 set, and all the other women only has to bring 1 set of korbanos. So if the demand is lower, so the prices are going to fall. So the Mishnah says that was a gimmick that the Tanoim had to pressure the merchants to lower the price. Yeah, that's a question, but it's not, the din is not true. How could the Tanoim have said such a lie? The Mishnah in Krisis tells that on one occasion the Tanoim, Bizman Abai Sheni, pressured the merchants who were selling the birds for the karbonas to lower the prices. So the Rishonim ask, it's a sheker, how could they do that? So they say that Yesh Koach, so the conservatives always quote that Mishnah. You see that the rabbis can change the law whenever there's a good economic consideration. And they quote the Gemara in Pesachim also says like that. there's a machlekes satanayim where the chomin she'over la Pesach is a din deraisa, a din derabon. So we pass them as only derabon. Mar says, what's the difference halacha l'maisa? The bottom line, it's awesome. So one of the differences is we pass in chomish over la pesach is only asim derabanan as a penalty because you violated by your rabbi mutz. So a penalty is only if you have a box of cookies on the table, you violated by your rabbi mutz. What if you have chomitz dikah pots and pans put away in the cabinet and there's a bli of chomitz in the pot? So the Gemara says beferish there's no bal your rabbi mutz on a bli. So if you hold away, we pass in the chomitz over all of our pesach is only a penalty midirabanan, because he violated Bal Yirah by Matzei, so there's no problem, there's no Bal Yirah and Blias Kalim, and you don't have to kasha the Chomitz Dike Kalim if you don't plan to use them on Pesach. I'm going to put away the Chomitz Dike Kalim till after Pesach. After Pesach, I'm going to take them out and use them again. So the Chomitz that's Balua in the Kli does not become Treif. I didn't violate Bal Yirah by Matzei. But if one would hold like the other Tana, and the Gemara says, there were Amoraim, there's Machlekes Rav Shmuel. How do you paskin over here? So there were those who paskin like the other Tana, Rav Yudah, the Chomet Shavar La Pesach is an Issa Der Issa, has nothing to do with having violated by Rabbi Matzah. If the Chomet belongs to a Goy, according to Rav Yudah, it's also Asar after Pesach. The whole institution that we have, you sell the Chomet to the Goy, then you buy it back, on the assumption that the Chomet Shal Nochri, nobody violated by Yerush, so that's mutter. That's all because we passed like Reb Shimon. The Chomet over all of HaPesach is only a penalty midirabanan. So they only introduced the penalty if the Chomet was in Jewish ownership on Pesach. So the Jew violated by Yerush by Matzah. But according to the other Tanoim, according to Reb Yudah, even Chemtzu Shal Nachri over all of HaPesach is going to be us. So even the chametz that's balua and the kelim, you have to kasha all of the pesach dike, all of the chametz dike pots and pans. After you don't plan to use them on pesach, you have to kasha all the pots and pans after pesach is over when you want to use it for chametz again. So what if you have china dishes? Goodbye. So the Gemara says you have to throw out all the china dishes. You can't kasha china. You can't kasha china. So the Gemara says, in Rav's community, Asri de Rav habit. In Rav's community, Rav used to paskin like Rav Yudit. The Chomesh Alav Pesach is an Issa de Raisis. So every Pesach, when it came Pesach, the Balabatim would throw out all the china dishes. They had to buy new Chametz Dikah. After Pesach was over, they had to buy new. It didn't help to have separate dishes for Pesach, separate dishes for Chometz. They had to buy new Chometz dishes every year after Pesach. So the merchants who sold all the china dishes used to charge a fortune. Every single balabas is throwing out all the dishes and they're buying new ones. So Shmuel was very upset about that. They're charging so much money, so Shmuel wanted to pressure the merchants to lower their price. But it's Rab's Kehillah. Rab is the Mardash, and that's his Psak. So Shmuel can't say, we don't paskin like Rav. He just let it be known that he doesn't agree with Rav. He can't paskin. If the Mardash is Rav, so the Balabatma Muchiv to throw out all the dishes and buy new dishes. But he just let it be known that he doesn't agree halacha lemaisa with Rav. So there were going to be some Balabatim who were going to listen to Shmuel. Not everybody. The din is all the Balabatim are supposed to listen to their local Orthodox rabbi. But some of them have to hear that there's another rabbi who's Mekel, so they're not going to follow their rabbi who's Machlan, so they're going to follow Shmuel. Shaloi Kedin, they're not supposed to. So Shmuel did that, he let it be known that he doesn't agree with Rav to pressure the merchants to lower down the prices for the china dishes. So these are the two Gemaras that the conservatives always quote. You see that the rabbis can change the laws for economic when there are economic considerations. They didn't change the laws. They didn't change the laws. Over here, Shmuel didn't change any law. Shmuel disagreed. The Gemara tells Shmuel disagreed with Rav. Shmuel held that Chomesh Alav Pesach is only a penalty for the Rabbanon. It's not a din d'oraisa, and it doesn't apply to Chometz Kelim. It doesn't apply to Bleias Kelim. It's just that under normal circumstances, he should never have mentioned it to anybody in Rav's Kehillah that he disagrees with Rav. Under the circumstances, he felt it's a mitzvah to threaten the merchants. He threatened them outright. He said, Ashru zvinaychu, you better lower your prices or I'm going to let it be known, I'm going to give a public shiur that I don't agree with Rav, and some of the Balabatim will listen to me. Even though they're not supposed to, they'll listen to me instead of listening to their rabbi who's machmir. The other Mishnah, that's the problem. The Mishnah increases is the problem. How could they paskin against the din? The din is that if a woman had 9 pregnancies, she's supposed to bring 9 sets of karbonos. So how could they say kenega the din? So the Rishonim say that Yesh Kach V'Yad Chacham Deshitim Kubetzis, and Bava Basra talks about it. That Mishnah increases is quoted in the end of Bava Basra. So Deshitim Kubetzis, the end of Bava Basra says that that's a klal. The Gemara has Yesh Kach V'Yachacham Im Lakadov Menator B'Shevi Altase. Whenever there's a major tzorach, take for example, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, it was supposed to blow shofar. So with the Rabbanon, they prohibited us from blowing shofar because they're concerned someone's going to be Mechal Shabbos, someone's going to carry. So they tell us not to fulfill a mitzvah because there's a tzorach. What's the tzorach? We're afraid of Chilul Shabbos. Here there's also a tzorach that these people, the merchants who are selling the birds for the karbanos, are ripping off the public, and the people were poor. What? Yeah. So this was B'Shevi Altase. This wasn't B'Kum Be'Asei. The Rabbanim didn't tell anyone to violate any Aveira. They just made a declaration that, which was not true.
But didn't it then, that night the price went down anyway, so probably nobody was affected anyway. Nobody was affected anyway. Maybe they did it with the understanding that they have certain
the next week
certain
they're
powers, Ruach HaKodesh, they knew what was going to happen. So maybe they did that just to,
they forced them to lower the prices, and then they announced later on, we made a mistake, that you really have to bring the 9 sets of kabbalas. Could be. The mission doesn't say the end of the story.
But just that night, the prices dropped.
Prices went down, right?
But isn't there already a halacha that a person does not have to pay more than 1/6 or whatever it is to fulfill the mission's not saying?
Hamivazim, Salivazim, Yesim, Michoimish, yeah. You don't have to spend more than more than 20% of your total assets in order to fulfill a mitzvah.
Right. Right. So wouldn't that already cover any case where the karbanas are way too expensive?
So she can't bring all the karbanas now. So every year they earn a little more money. So every couple of months they have to put away money and then buy another set, because she had 9 sets of babies. So every time they put together some more money, they have to buy another set of karbanas. If you can't afford, that's what the Chumash has, a din of Ashiris and Dalos, and Dali Dalos. By your letters, you only have about Ashiris and Dalos. If she can afford to buy a behemah by spending 20% of the family assets, she can afford to buy a behemah for a chatos, so then she's mechuyev to bring the karbanas behemah. If by spending 20% of the family assets she can't afford to buy behemah, then she has to buy the karban ha'oif. And she's mechuyev to bring 9 sets. If she can't afford that, she can afford, let's say, to bring karbanas ha'oif with the limit of 20%, not mechuyev to spend more than 20%. She had 9 sets of babies, so she'll be able to bring 2 or 3 sets of karbanas. So that's all she has to bring now. They just built the Beis Hamikdash today. So she can't afford to buy all the 9 sets. So she'll buy 2 or 3 sets of karbanas, wait another half year till her husband earns a little more money. Then she'll buy another set of karbanas. Doesn't pata her the oilam void from
the
fulfilling.
The 1/5 is based on your how much money you have. I thought the 1/5 is based on the typical price for an object. For example, let's say the esrog typically is, let's say, $50, but let's say they're charging $1,000 one year. So I thought you count from the fifth, you count if it's more than...
No, these are two different dinim. You're talking, there's the Gemara in Bava Kama. If they sell an esrog, a normal esrog, you can get a kosher esrog for $45. But if you're prepared to spend a little more money, so you can get a fancier esrog. So if you can afford it, you're mechuyev to spend more. If you can't afford it, you can't afford it. So only spend $45. You can't afford $45, so use someone else's esrog on sukkahs. Okay? If you can't afford it, so don't buy an esrog. Years ago, it was very common in America. There was only one esrog for every shul, and one person gave a matana manas lachs. It's all about the... So let's say a person lives all by himself in the village, and if he doesn't buy an esrog, he's not going to have. So if he can buy an esrog for $45, and that's less than 20% of his assets, he's mechuyev to. If it's going to cost him more than 20% of his assets, he's not mechuyev to fulfill the mitzvah of esrog, even though he's going to miss the mitzvah. He won't be able to fulfill it at a later date. Here, this woman who doesn't bring all the karbanas now, so she'll bring in another half a year. Her husband will earn some more money. She'll bring Esther the karbanas in another 6 months. In another year, her husband will earn more money, so she'll bring the rest of the karbanas. Mm-hmm. See, there are two different dinim here. There's one din: if I'm obligated to perform a mitzvah, and in order to fulfill that mitzvah, I'm going to have to blow in, I'm going to have to spend more than 20% of my total assets. So the din is, you're not mechuyev to do the mitzvah, you're not mechuyev to like tefillin, you're not mechuyev to ben shasrig, you're not mechuyev to listen to tkir shofar. If I live in the Philippines somewhere, and there's no Baal Tekeh, and the only way to hear Tekeh Shofar is to take a plane to Seattle or whatever to go to some Jewish community, and the plane ticket is going to cost so much, it's more than 20% of my total assets. So I'm not mechuyev this year to listen to Tekeh Shofar. It's going to cost me more than 20%. That's one din. Then there's another din: if I can buy a kosher esrog for $45, but if I'll spend a little more money, I'll even get a fancier esrog. So am I mechuyev in hider mitzvah? So that's in Gemara. Hider mitzvah achlish. $45 is 3 times 15. So if I can spend another $15 instead of 45, I'll spend $60 and I'll get a momuhuritik esrog, and I can afford the $60. So you mechuyev to spend up until $60. If you want, you can spend if let's say the guy has a lot of money, he can spend $200, get the most beautiful esrog in the world. That much he's not mechuyev to. That's already optional. But if the basic kosher esrog he can get for $45, and by spending another $15 he can get a more mechuyev esrog, then the Gemara says, Baba Kami, he the mitzvah at shlish b'mitzvah. That is mechuyev to spend the extra $15. And more than that is min hashamayim, I'll give him schar. If he wants to, but he's not mechuyev. See, these are two different dinim. One din is about he the mitzvah at shlish b'mitzvah. You mechuyev to spend 1/3 more in order to fulfill the he the mitzvah. And one is a din hamavazvas al yavazvas yaisim mechaymish. The original din of hamavazvas al yavazvas yaisim mechaymish, the Gemara in Ksubas on Daf Nun, with respect to charity, the Gemara says you're only obligated to give up until 20% of your annual income, and more than that you shouldn't give. You're not allowed to give more. Why? But what are you gaining? You're giving away charity to someone else. You're going to give away too much charity, so you yourself will become poor. So the Gemara says it's prohibited, it's forbidden to give more, unless you make so much money. Baruch Hashem, a lot of Jews in America make so much money, if they'll give more than Chaimish, they won't go broke. No chance that they're going to go broke. They can give more than Chaimish, the Rishonim say. But if it's a normal person, makes a normal parnasa, the Gemara says you're not allowed to spend more than chaimish to give to tzedakah. So this Gemara by tzedakah is quoted in Shulchan Aruch with respect to other mitzvahs as well, respect to lulav, respect to sukkah, respect to tefillin. If it's going to cost you more than 20% of your total assets in order to fulfill a mitzvah, and if you won't do the mitzvah now, you're going to miss it. If you don't wear the tefillin today, you missed out. If you don't blow shofar this year, you missed out on the. You can't blow shofar next month. I'm going anyway to civilization next month. Next month is not going to be Rosh Hashanah. Tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah. So even though it's a mitzvah, shezman oiveris, and you're going to lose out on the mitzvah, so the din is that you're not nuchayiv.
20% of her assets, she can buy three eifus, three tzvedas, but one set of
behemoth. So would you say she's mechayiv to buy the one set of behemoths? I don't know. That's a good shayla. The Gemara never explains how do you determine Ashiris and Dalos.
When does she become Dal? It's a good question.
It says the main Yadam Asa. Yeah. It says if you can't afford the Behemah, then you can be Yitzeh with Eifers. What do you mean you can't afford the Behemah? Means if to buy a Behemah, she's going to spend more than 20% of the family assets. But let's say she's Mechuyev 9 sets of Karbonis. And if she'll buy the behemoth, it'll be less than 20% of the family assets. But that'll only be yotzei one mitzvah. She has another 8 to go. So if she'll bring life, she'll be yotzei 3. So that's never discussed in the Gemara. That's a good shayla.
What about on dog when selling like the carbonos?
I know it's a different thing. I know it means like this: if the going price is so much, they sell Coca-Cola all over for $1. And I'm selling Coca-Cola for $1.50. So if everybody knows, I put on my sign, Coca-Cola sells all over for $1, and I sell it over here for $1.50, take it or leave it. If you don't want it, don't buy. So that's not I know. That's not I know. I know is if the going rate is $1, and I fool the people into believing that $1.50 is the going rate. But let's say all of the merchants gang up together, and they all charge $1.50 for a bottle of Coca-Cola. So that's their antitrust laws, the monopoly laws in America. You're not allowed to do that. But the halacha is also about that. The government, the bezdin, or the government, whoever is in charge, has the obligation to see to it that on necessities, they shouldn't charge too much money. On eggs, and on fish, and on flesh, and on milk, and on flour, yeah. On Coca-Cola, basic nisht. Coca-Cola, mistami, you can live with water. You don't need the Coca-Cola. Huh? Yeah. The stomach can live without the Coca-Cola.
You want to tax it now.
Uh-huh.
You want to tax it, the government.
It's
sugar.
They
want the tax, sugar tax.
Uh-huh. So I don't know if the government has the right, I don't know if Aloha, I don't know if the government has the right to regulate the prices on luxuries. They're selling ice cream, so they're charging outrageous prices. So you can live without ice cream, you can live without diamond rings, and they have a right to charge whatever they want. So the din of Ainoa means if the going rate, if in this neighborhood the going rate for the Coca-Cola is $1, and I sell Coca-Cola for $1.50, making believe that this is the right price, and it's not, and I'm fooling the customers into believing that this is the right price. So that's not allowed. That's a shayla of us haste in this neighborhood. Let's say someone's buying furniture. So the local stores sell furniture for a certain price. But if you drive to New Jersey, you get the furniture for less. So people do drive. People from Queens do drive to New Jersey. So that's what the poskim say, that the din of Ainoa, if you go to New Zealand, maybe they sell it for less than over here, but no one in New York is going to go to New Zealand to buy furniture or to buy Coca-Cola. So it's only bo b'cheshbon to determine whether it's Ainoa or not You only calculate it based on the going rate in that area where the customers had an option to go there. See, if it's furniture, people go even a little further to buy furniture. It's a long-term investment. They buy furniture for a couple of years. So they'll drive to New Jersey. If it's to buy one bottle of Coca-Cola, they're not going to drive to New Jersey to buy a bottle of Coca-Cola. So you just judge based on the stores in the local area. If you walk 15 minutes, you can get Coca-Cola for a dollar. Oh, but over here in the radius of five blocks, everybody charges a dollar and a half. So that's not an Isser of Aino. They're all charging, all the local people are charging a dollar and a half. The different dinim. Aino is a different dinim. So Shavuos HaEdus is that din. If the Edim HaMafsid me, the witnesses swear falsely in the presence of the Bezin Shavuos Ein Ani Yodim Lecha HaEdus, and they're Mafsid me moment because of that, and then later on they're Moida, the Bezin is already far found. Rashi writes, not all the Rishonim agree with Rashi, but that's how Rashi writes. Kivin Sheigid Shuvin HaChayzer Magid. Once the Edim swear in the front of Bezin, in the presence of the Bezin Shavuos Ein Ani Yodim Lecha HaEdus, so they can't turn around and testify on my behalf, so they were mafsid mi mamma. So the Torah says, when they want to do tshuva, they have to ask mechila, that they're mafsid mi mamma. It's a grama ben ezikin is pata. They don't have to pay me because the other guy really owed me the money. They refused to testify, so mele, the other guy's a crook and he's going to cheat me. He's not going to pay. So that's only grama ben ezikin. So they don't, strictly speaking, they don't have to pay me. They have sid mamma, but the mechuyev to bring a korban chatas oyla v'yori. It is in Vayikra. You have Ashira's dollars and Dali dollars. Yeah. What Shavuos HaPikadon? Shavuos HaPikadon, Rashi says, is called Asham Gezelois. If I confront you and I say, you owe me $1,000, one should pay me the money. A Halvor, a Pikadon, or a Mazik, or a Shira's Pelem, whatever it is. I say, you owe me a sum of money, one should pay me the money. And then you swear falsely that you don't owe me any money. You kai for hakol, you swear. There's no chiyuv shvuah. The chiyuv shvuah is only if there's a moedah b'miktzah. So you kai for hakol. The bezin will not make you swear, but you kofat v'nish, but you volunteer on your own a shvuah. You swear you don't owe me any money, and then later on you admit that you do owe me the money. So step number one, you have to pay me the money. That's number one. You got to pay the keren. Step number two, the chumash says you have to add on chumash. Chumash means not 1/5. Chumash means 25%. Let's say it was $100 that you swore falsely that you don't owe, so you have to give me back $125. After you give me the $125, so the 25 is chaimish of the 125, is 1/5 of the 125. And after giving the kerem chaimish, then you have to bring Hashem gizelois. So that's called Shavuos HaPikadon. So the Mishnah is discussing, what's the din if you swore in English? You swore to me falsely in English that you don't owe me money. You didn't swear in Hebrew, so maybe it doesn't count. Or you swore the Edim don't want to get involved. I have a din Torah with the other fellow, and I plead with you, Bovahiduni, if you don't come and testify, the Bezin is not going to paskan on my behalf. I'm not going to win the din Torah. And the Edim swear falsely, Shvoshen on the Edim Lechaidis, and it's not true. And they would mafsid me the moment. So the din of Shvosh Eidus applies. They have to bring the Chata Solobiyarid, not only if they swore in Hebrew, even if they swore in English, is also a din of Shvosh Eidus. Yeah. So that's Memes Adava Pashut. Shavuos HaEdus and Shavuos HaPikadon, there is no text. There's no text in Chumash, there's no Kichsavai, and there's no text that Dan Sheik Nes HaGadol composed. A Shavuah is a Shavuah. You formulate your own statement of a Shavuah. You say, I swear, but you have to, you don't even have to swear on a Sefer Torah. It's not a Shavuos HaDeon. Say, I swear, B'Shem Hashem, I swear by God, that I don't owe you the money. He says, I swear that I don't know about the story, I can't testify. So there is no kichsova and there is no nusach. So pshita, that it's good in translation. Why would anybody in his right mind think that it's not good in translation? Mechetesa. Let's say the Mishnah doesn't say Sfiras HaOmer. How come it doesn't say Sfiras HaOmer is good in all languages? So the answer is that the Pasha does Sfiras HaOmer is good in all languages. There is no specific text. It says Sfaratim Lachem, you have to tell Sfira. How do you tell Sfira? Whatever language, we happen to tell Sfira in Hebrew. There were many communities where they tell Sfira in Aramaic. Many communities where they said in Ladino, in other languages. There's no halacha that it has to be in Hebrew. You have to speak. You have to tell Sfira Sarmah B'peh, B'dibur. But which language? All languages are recognized by the halacha as languages. All languages are recognized. So, Bem is these two, Shavuos HaEdus, Shavuos HaPikadon, L'chora apshita that it's b'chol loshen. You can't even require that it should be kechzava kinus chosai. There is no pasuk in Chumash what the text of the shvua is supposed to be, and there is no takana sanchek nes hagdaila what the nusach should be.
With Chumash the bir halacha that the lashon has to be la'az the osa medina apply here or not at all?
Probably would apply.
It would.
Yeah, the Mishnah Brura has a chiddush. He bases it on a Gemara in Kiddushin when a man says hariat mukudeshesli. So there's no text that you have. There's no text in Chumash what the chassan says under the chuppah, and there's no text of the anshek nesagadol. No one was misakin any text. He just has to say bepeh b'shas gerushin and b'shas kiddushin hariat mukudeshesli hariat mugureshes many. He has to express his intention in words. So the Mishnah Brura interprets a Gemara in Kiddushin that if the man is speaking French in New York, even though the witnesses, even though the Chassan Kala and the Edom understand French, does a Nishgeret, French in New York is not called a language. French in France is a language. Spanish in Washington Heights, that's a language, okay? That's a language. It depends. The Mishnah Brura says it has to be the Sfas HaMedina, the spoken language. He says it about Kriya Shema, that if you want to say Kriya Shema in French in America, it wouldn't be Yotze, only French in France. But the raya that he brings is from a Gemara in Kiddushin, which is not talking about the no text needed at all. He just wants to say, I want to marry you. You can say any Lashon, I want to marry you. Hareat mukudeshesli, there's a Lishna de Rabbanon. Hareat dishte, hareat arisasi, any Lashon is good. There's no specific Lashon.
So the guy wouldn't be able to bring a carbon, Shavuos HaTikano, if he was French and he swore in New York.
Okay.
So would he not need it to get a kapara because he was never mechuyev in it, or he doesn't get
what he said is considered the gibberish. The shvuah was not meaningful. A shvuah is only if you say bepeh. If you think in your mind you wanna say a shvuah, but you didn't say the shvuah, that's not a shvuah. So if he said the shvuah French in New York, so the Chavetz Chaim and the Mishnah Brura writes that that's not called dibur. That's an ishgeret.
So his bezdin in New York would have had the French person in the first place talk in English, or would the bezdin be mekabel it, or
either in English or in Hebrew?
If not, it wouldn't even be edus. I mean, it's nothing.
Yeah. That's why it's highly questionable. That chiddush of the Chavetz Chaim. That's why they say that Rabbi Huttner specially visited the Radin in order to argue with the Chavetz Chaim on that. He thought that was very difficult to say that if you talk a different, let's say you're going to talk Yiddish, you're going to talk Yiddish in New York. She comes to the Beis Hamikdash.
Yeah. That's the only place it brings the Sultan that we live anywhere in the world.
I don't know. I don't know. It would depend what's the spoken language in Yerushalayim.
But if it's Hebrew, let's say she comes from an Arabic country or an English country.
Hebrew is the international language.
It's called Lashon.
Hebrew for sure is good. That's the international language. But the question is the other languages other than Hebrew. So the Mishnah Brura has a Chiddush. It's only considered a language in that country where it's the spoken language. So there's what the dings are.
How does B'chol Lashon work in
Israel? I don't know.
If in Arabic, which is also a spoken language.
Okay. Some Arabic would be accepted. They have a lot of signs in Arabic in Yerushalayim. So Aramaic, Bizman HaTanayim, the spoken language in Yerushalayim used to be Aramaic. Aramaic is Laz. Aramaic is not Lashon HaKodesh. The Gemara said Beferish. Aramaic is the Shailushainus. It's only considered, according to the Mishnah Brura, it's only considered a Lashon in those countries where the Aramaic is the Sfas HaMedina.
Doesn't she have to understand it?
Yeah, if she doesn't understand it, it's upgeret that it's not good, for sure.
How would the Chavetz Chaim reconcile, for example, when you make an Eruv Chatzeres, Eruv Tavshul, and you say that chapter afterwards has to be in a language that you understand? According to that, if you're French and the other thing is Greek to me, you have to say in French, you have to understand what you're saying.
That's right.
The same thing with Bir Chamis.
No, that everybody, that's what Tosfos says. You have to say it in a language that you understand. Kol Chamira, and Bahadei Neiruva, Derevei Chatzeres, and Derevei Tavshilin has to be in a language that you understand. But that's not enough. We have printed the text of Kol Chamira, we have the printed text of Bahadei Neiruva, is in Aramaic. Aramaic is not the spoken language in New York.
That's the universal language at that time.
So why have
the Gemara? Hebrew is considered the universal language. Aramaic is considered laws. So according to the Mishnah Brura, Aramaic would only be considered Geret, it's only considered a spoken language, if that would be the Sfas Hamdina in New York. So according to the Mishnah Brura, Bahadei Nairuva is no good, even if you understand Aramaic, you learn Gemara. But Aramaic is not the spoken language even in the yeshivas. No one talks Aramaic in the yeshivas.
So he says you're not yotzei by saying Kol Hamir?
Right. So Kol Hamir is not acceptable according to him. According to the Mishnah Brura, Kol Hamir Teuknish. It's a big Kiddush. Erech Shadim Kiddush. He says no one's yotzei with the bitul chametz that they're saying Kol Hamir. Because Aramaic is not the spoken language.
Was there a requirement that the judges had to speak 70 languages so that they could understand everyone?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how can a witness testify in another language? He has to speak a language al pidin. So in Yerushalayim, you're not going to have all the 70 languages. I don't know.
No, but three dayanim could be with kabbalists for the whole family. Not everybody has to be 70 languages.
No, but still, he says, why do they have to know all the 70 languages? All 70 languages were spoken languages in the Bez Nagol in Yerushalayim. All 70 languages. Why do they have to know all the 70? No, but if you can only give testimony if you speak a spoken language, it has to be a spoken language in Yerushalayim where the Bez Nagol meets. So how many languages could there be already in Yerushalayim? Yeah, you can't have 70.
Maybe they can give the testimony in any of the languages. You're just going to give a shmur.
You give testimony in a language that's not considered geret.
Yeah, as long as they understand it, not testimony.
I mean, if I go like this, sign language is also good. Okay, maybe. If sign language is good, so B'chol Lashon would be good. A sign language? Okay.
Maybe so that these 70 people would be able to translate and the guy would repeat it after them. In other words, the guy would say it in French, then they would translate for him
in Hebrew,
and he would repeat it in Hebrew.
Maybe. That's a problem. Could be. Tais is going to talk about the Sheva Brachas. Tais is going to ask, how come the Mishnah doesn't say other Brachas? We're going to have to talk about it soon. We're going to have to talk about it in a minute. Tais is the second Tais talks about it. The Mishnah says that that tefillah can be recited in other languages as well. So the Gemara has on, huh?
This is Gedolah formulated the Amida. So they put it in Hebrew.
In Hebrew, for
so
sure.
It should be only in Hebrew.
No, so that's what the Mishnah says, that you yotze kinuschasai, even if you say in translation, but lachatchila should be an accurate translation word for word. Not just contain the same themes. It should be a literal translation of the nusach that they composed in Hebrew. And that's what the Mishnah says, that you yotze tefillah b'chol lashon, that it is considered kinus chasai. See, when the Reform movement first started, so one of the first shinuyim they did, now they did away with the whole religion. You can have same-sex marriages and intermarriages, but now everything is in ganz different. When they first started the Reform movement, they didn't go against the halacha. The only chutzpah that they did was they didn't consult the rabbanim. They didn't consult the. They were talmid chachamim. They didn't consult the greater talmid chacham. They felt you don't have to consult. It's enough in a din in shulchan aruch. But you have to consult the gedolei hador. So they introduced tefillah in German because they said the hamayinam in Germany don't understand Hebrew. So what are they saying? The nusach of the davening. No one understands the Hebrew. So they translated the siddur. And they said, let's all daven in German. So the people will understand. The davening will be more meaningful.
In the end, the German Jew improved the German language.
Why
they translated? Because they made it more rich from the Russian Kurdish.
Okay. So the Gemara has a din on the next daf, on Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph.
They didn't take the Hebrew, or they did away with the Hebrew, and the whole thing was in German.
No, the only diamond in German. They didn't say in Hebrew. The only
Hebrew wasn't even on the page.
No, I don't think so. They just diamond in German. They didn't recite the Hebrew. So the Gemara says, "An lamed gimel lamed aleph," about seven lines from the top. So it says tefillah that you can daven in translation. So the Gemara says, "Why is that? Because rachmihu bakashas tzarachim, asking the Rabbanu Shlom to take care of your needs. Kalecha deboy matzli shoy." And any language that you can communicate with the Rabbanu Shalom is acceptable. That's the reason for the Mishnah. Preg the Gemara, is that true? Tefillah b'chol lashon. is the halacha in the Mishnah correct that you can daven in any language you want? Aye, it's not true. V'am Rav Yude, the Amora said, Li'olam al-Yishalom Tzarachav, B'loshan Aramis, you should never daven in Aramaic. Why? Dom Rabbi Yechanan, Kolo Shel Tzarach B'loshan Arami, if you daven in Aramaic, Ein Malach HaShoes Nuzkokin Lo, they're not going to accept his prayers. The prayers don't go directly to the Rabbanu Shalom. The Gemara makes a statement. The Malachim have to accept the prayers and present them. So the Malachim, the Vishay Malach HaShoes Makir Malosh Na'arami, they don't recognize. What does it mean they don't recognize? It means they don't understand Aramaic. That's where the Rishayim ask, how can it be? If the Malachim understand all the languages, so how can it be that they don't understand Aramaic? So the Ravid writes in the Sefer Tmim Deim. The Ravid has a Sefer of Shalas HaTshuvas that the Poskim called the Sefer Tmim Deim. So he writes, the Malachi Asharis understand Aramaic. They understand all the languages. They understand Aramaic. But the Aramaic in the Gemara was the vernacular. That was the spoken language in the street. That's how the language that the Nochrim spoke in. So the Malachim feel that that's a bizoyan, that's a busha, that they should, a Jew should pray in the vernacular. He should make his tefillah a little fancier. It's a pasnish, that's why. Not that Eimakim, they don't understand Aramaic, they understand it quite well, but they throw away the tefillah. They're not going to present the tefillah to their Rabbanu Shalom. So the Gemara frekt akasha, but the Mishnah says he can daven b'chol loshon, any and every language, including Aramaic. And here Rabbi Yehuda says that you're not allowed to daven in Aramaic. So the Gemara finally answers, it depends whether it's b'tzibur or b'yochid. If it's b'yochid, so the prayers don't go directly to the Rabbanu Shalom. You need the angels to present the prayers, so you better not daven in Aramaic. But if it's b'tzibur, so then the Gemara learns out from the pasuk, hein kel kabir lo yimas, so the tefillah of the Rabbi Matziba goes directly to the Rabbanu Shalom. So it says you should only say Brich Shmei if you have a tzibur. You only say Yekampurkin if you have a minion, because Yekampurkin a Brich Shmei is an Aramaic. And whenever you daven in Aramaic, you can only daven b'tzibur. If it's b'yochid, you don't say Yekampurkin, you don't say any prayers b'aramis. So the Ravid writes in the Tmim Deim, it's not that the Malachim don't recognize Aramis. It means the vernacular. So in Germany, you can't daven b'yochid in German. In America, you can't daven b'yochid in English. You can daven mitzibur in English, because the tefillah satzibur, if you're davening together, 10 people together, so the tefillah satzibur does need the Malachim to present it. But if you're going to daven, according to the Ravid, it's not that there's something wrong with Aramaic. Aramaic means whatever is the vernacular in your particular country. So the Reform knew that. When they started the Reform, so they knew that. So they said, when you daven in shul, you can daven in German. When you daven at home, you should taka daven in Hebrew. When you daven in shul, tfilas at sibur, so you can daven in German, even though it's the vernacular, that's based on the Gemara.
Maybe that's what the Mishabur was referring to. Where there's a minion, then you can go ahead and say, you know, language, or if you're davening without a minion, then you have to speak the language of the country.
I don't think so. The Mishnevur is talking about Kriyashma. He's not even talking about Tvila B'tzibur. Plain old Kriyashma in translation. So he says Kriyashma can be fulfilled in translation. It's only if that's the Sfas HaMedina. If you speak a language which is not the spoken language of that country, that doesn't count as a language. He says when you say Harat Mekudeshesli, you have to have Amiris. So if it's not the spoken language of the country, it doesn't count. So when the Reform started this, Semitic Dalim were very opposed. Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Hisana Lord Hassam Sefer and Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolis, Semitic Dalim were upset. And they thought that it was a chutzpah on the part of these rabbis that they just mishtuf a place in Shulchan Aruch and they paskin the din. They changed the whole text of the prayers in the shuls without consulting any of the bigger rabbis. They knew that there were greater rabbis than them, but they said, what do you have to ask a shayla? It's a beferish hasif in Shulchan Aruch. So the Gedolim gave different reasons why they were opposed to this. So the Chasam Sofer said, at least when they daven in Hebrew, there's a chance that someday they'll be interested in learning Hebrew. They'll have a challenge, they'll try to learn Hebrew, so they'll understand the davening, then they'll learn Hebrew, they'll understand how to read the Chumash, we'll get somewhere with them. Once you recite the prayers in translation in German, so there's no, they won't have any impetus at all to learn Hebrew, so it'll be a disaster. Yeah. They had many tainus, simulation, a lot of tainus. So Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis came up with a new taina. He came up with a new Ein Sof. He said he doesn't wonder, he knows that at the time of Migdal Bovel, it says Shom Balal Hashem is fast kol ha'oretz. Originally it was Oyesa kol ha'oretz safa achas edvar machodim. Everybody spoke Loshna Kodesh, Rashi quotes from the Medrash. And then Shom Balal Hashem is fast kol ha'oretz, the Shivim Loshen were developed at that time. So Ephraim Zalman Goss has a fantastic Chiddush. I don't think anybody agrees with him. He thinks that the other languages that are recognized to recite Kriya Shema and translation and so on is only the one of the Shivim Lashon that existed in the time of Migdal Bovel. And he thinks that German was not one of those. German is a combination of other languages that were developed at a later time. So he just did away with the whole din. He just did the whole din, and the Mishnah never applies Bizman Hazeh. English was for sure not one of the Shivim Lashon at the time of Migdal Bovel. English is a combination of French and Spanish and all kinds of different languages. For sure it's not one of the Shivim Lashon. He just did away with the whole din in the Mishnah. He claims that Hebrew is Hebrew. Hebrew is recognized as the international language. In other languages, we only recognize the Shivim Lashon, the original Shivim Lashon. We'll never know. Yeah, we'll never know which they are.
You want it? You agree?
It's one of the original Shivim Lashon. It could be written. It could even be written in Greek. Yeah. You're reading it. You're reading it in Greek.
Even the Persian language today is far different than the original Persian language.
Of course.
The Persian language spoken today is far different than it was.
Yeah, yeah.
What about chinuch?
Avad, it's terrible chinuch. You have to be machanach to children that they should learn Hebrew and they should be able to daven Hebrew. Yeah, it was a disaster. That was the beginning of the Reform movement. So when they introduced the playing of the organ in the synagogue on Shabbos, they had non-Jews play the organ, and it's based on the Magen Avraham, quotes at Chuvas Aradvaz that Amir Lenachri. To play a musical instrument on Shabbos is a shvuz, the shvuz b'moka mitzvah. The Radva says if you have a Sheva Brachas on Shabbos, and the meaning of that place is that they always play music at a Sheva Brachas. On the weekdays, on Shabbos, you can't play music. But if you have Goyim who can play the Yiddish and Igunim, so that's Amir Eliyakum to play music. If I play the music myself, is only the Rabbana. So if I ask a non-Jew to play the music, it's a shvuz, the shvuz. The shvuz, the shvuz, moka mitzvah is mutter. So the Reform just took the Magen Avraham, and they said, we're going to have a non-Jew play the organ in the synagogue. It'll be mutter. It'll be a shvuz de shvuz b'maka mitzvah. Everything stayed b'feirish in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. So they felt they don't have to consult any greater rabbis. Everything. That's how many people who consider themselves Orthodox today, they also say, it says b'feirish in Shulchan Aruch. They're within the law, within the letter of the law. Question is, are they within the spirit of the law? Maybe they're not even within the letter of the law. Maybe it's not even the letter of the law. Not so easy to know what the letter of the law is. Certainly not so easy to know what the spirit of the law is. Yeah. So both of these chumras, the chumra of Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius, that we only recognize other languages if they're from the original Shivim Lashon, that I don't think was accepted by anybody. And then the chumra of the Mishnah Brura, that we only recognize other languages if it's the Sfas HaMedino. Also, there are some Rishonim who say like that. There are some Rishonim who interpret, like the Mishnah Berurah interpreted that Gemara in Kiddushin. If he says Hariyat Mekudeshesli in a foreign language, in a country where the Chasen Kal and the Edom know what he's saying, but that's not the Safa Hamaduberes, so there are some Rishonim who learn like that in the Gemara in Kiddushin. But that's not the Pashup Shat in the Gemara. So both of these Chumas are really wild Chumas. We do it all the time. We say Kol Chamira. We say Bahadene Ruva, you say it in Aramaic. Aramaic is not the Safa Hamaduber, it's not the commonly spoken language. So we really don't follow that Mishnah Berurah. Anyway, so the Mishnah listed off all the things that can be recited in translation. So you ask the Shaila, what about Sheva Brachas? The Mishnah doesn't say one way or the other. So that's what Tosfos asks. The second Tosfos says, Kriya Shema Utfilo can be recited in translation. Vektosis Tema, why doesn't the Mishnah say about brachas? Amayshir Hallel, what about to recite Hallel? An Rosh Chodesh or An Yontif, can you be Yotzi Hallel in translation, or does it have to be in the original Hebrew? Or Kiddush Ol Shabbos HaBracha, or Birchas HaPeres, Bar Prihoitz, Bar Prihadom, or Birchas HaMitzvahs. How come the Mishnah doesn't say that these can be fulfilled in probably can be fulfilled in translation? The Mishnah says Kriya Shema Tefillah, so probably they can also. Why isn't it mentioned in the Mishnah? And you cannot say that the Mishnah is only listing off Dirim Deraisa, and the Bichas Hanen and the Bichas HaMitzvahs is only the Rabbanans. So Tosfos says that's not, and Halal is only the Rabbanan. Maybe the Mishnah is only listing off Leka Lameima, you cannot answer the Lanaketela Deraisa. The Mishnah is only talking about Dirim Deraisa. So Tosfos said that's not correct, because the Mishnah talks about Kriya Shema Tefillah. And the Gemara says in Brachas, Mashma the Tefillah Kriyashma, both the Rabbanan. Mm-hmm. So he puts together Kriyashma and Tefillah. So Tefillah is the Rabbanan, that's how the Gemara says. What's the difference between a Din Deraisa and a Din Derabbanan? Safik Deraisa Lechumra, and a Safik Derabbanan Lekula. So the Gemara says there, Safik Hispalel, Safik Loi Hispalel. A person doesn't know for sure whether he davened or he didn't, doesn't remember whether he davened Mincha not. So the first mandamin, the Gemara says, Eina Chayzim Hispalel. Because Safik the Rabbanan Lakula. The Chiyuv to Daven is on him with the Rabbanan. We don't paskin like that. We paskin Choyzer Mispalel. Safik is Palel, Safik is Palel, Choyzer Mispalel. Why Halabashi is Palel Adam Kalayam Kulam? But it's not that we say it's a Din Deraisa, Safik Deraisa Lechumra. The Rajbo explains, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, the Rajbo explains what that's all about. Since there is an institution of Tfilas Nedoveh, whenever a person is in the mood to, he can volunteer an additional Shman Esrei. So if he has a Safik, his Palo, Safik, his Palo, he's not Mukhiv to daven over. Safik, the Rabbanu Lekul, he doesn't have to daven over. We would encourage him, we would recommend, volunteer another Shman Esrei, so for sure you'll be covered in the event that you didn't daven yet. So now you'll volunteer at Tfilas and Dabin, you'll be covered. So the Gemara is Beferish Alpi Pashta, so Tfilah is only the Rabbanu. Tfilah is not... The Rambam holds not so. The Rambam holds Tefillah once a day, every day is their Isa. So he's going to die. He already daven Shachris. He just doesn't remember if he daven Mincha. So the obligation to daven three times a day, the Rambam also agrees that that's only with the Rabbanan. And the particular text of the Nusach of the Shman Esrei is only with the Rabbanan. The Rambam holds that the obligation to daven Menatar is once a day, every day. So Tosfos writes as if all Tefillah is only the Rabbanan. The simple reading in the Tosfos is like the Ramban, they're all Tefillah is only the Rabbanan. But then Tosfos says Kriya Shema. And that daf, there's a big machlokes in Brachas and Daf Chof Aleph that Tosfos quotes. What's the din? Safik kara Kriya Shema, Safik loy kara Kriya Shema. Whether Kriya Shema is the Raisa or the Rabbanan. So one opinion in the Gemara is Enechayza Bekoyre, because Kriya Shema is lav the Raisa. Then the Gemara seems to back out from that. The Gemara seems to paskin that Kriya Shema is the Raisa. So there's a long Tosfos on Amid Beis. Even the people who don't know Gemara Soito, but this Tosfos they know because the Shagas Aryeh has a whole essay about this. But the Kriya Shema is Deraisa, Lav Deraisa. So he quotes the Tosfos, this Tosfos on Lamed Beis Amid Aleph, and this long Tosfos, Lamed Beis Amid Beis. Tosfos says that the Pashtus and many Gemaras seems to indicate that Kriya Shema is Lav Deraisa. We have Kulas in Kriya Shema.
What about included? Even if you hold
that Kriya Shema is Deraisa, there are different opinions how much of Kriya Shema. So the Ramban writes in Brachas only the Pasuk Rishon is Deraisa, and other Rishonim disagree. The Parsha Rishon is Deraisa, and some Rishonim hold the first two Parshas are Deraisa. And Vayomer is not part of Kriya Shema. Vayomer is for the sake of Zechiras Tzitzis Mitzrayim.
Maybe Tosfos is saying that when they lump it together, just talk about
the rest of the Kriya Shema. You see, the Tosfos on Amud Beis doesn't sound like it. Sounds like that the whole Kriya Shema is the Rabbanan. The whole Kriya Shema is the Rabbanan. See, the Tosfos on the first daf in Brachas, the first Tosfos in Brachas works on a problem. The first Mishnah says that you're only yotzei Kriya Shema by Ma'ariv if you recite after Tzeis HaKochavim. And the practice in the days of Rashi and Tosfos was, they all said Ma'ariv, they all daven Ma'ariv right after the Shkia, way before Tzeis HaKochavim. So how were they yotzei Kriya Shema? So Tosfos says, as long as you daven Ma'ariv after Plag HaMincha, you yotzei. Why? Because the Gemara says, there's a machlokes hatanoim, when is this man of Ma'ariv? Whether Mincha is up until Plag HaMincha. Plag HaMincha is an hour and a quarter before night. So Mincha, the latest time to daven Mincha is an hour and a quarter before Laila. And then is the Zman of Ma'ariv, after Plag HaMincha, after an hour and a quarter. Or do you say, no, Mincha is Ad HaErev, till the end of the day, and Ma'ariv is Balaila. So the Gemara says, how do we paskin? How do we paskin Halacha L'maaseh? Can you daven Ma'ariv after Plag HaMincha? So the Gemara says there's no hachro. David kemar Ravid, David kemar Ravid. You want to follow Rabbi Yudah, you can follow his opinion. You want to follow the Chachamim, you can follow their opinion. So it's usually assumed, why does the Gemara say David kemar Ravid, David kemar Ravid? There's no hachro because the whole Indian of davening mincha marv is only midirabbanon. So we treat it like a sveka derabbanon lakula. But what about kriyashma? You can daven kriyashma also. You can say kriyashma also after plaga mincha. So the first Taisus and Brocha says, yeah, David kemar Ravid, David kemar Ravid. What do you mean? It's optional. You can do whatever you want. But kriyashma is deraisa. So how can you say sofik derabbanon lakula? You have a right to be maker like Rabbi Yudah to recite kriyashma after plaga mincha. So all of the commentaries on the Gemara point out, you see that Taisus assumes that Kriyashma is the Rabbanon, like they write here and like they write on Amid Beis, that Kriyashma is Lav Deraisa. So when you have a suffix, when is the correct Zman of Kriyashma? Does it only begin after Tzeis HaKochavim, or can you fulfill Kriyashma after Plag HaMincha? So Taisus says you can be Mekel. Rashi writes over there, how will we Yotze Kriyashma Lidav Marisa Worley? The Rashi says, Taki not Yotze, you have to say Kriyashma Lamito. And Taisus disagrees, no, you Yotze Kriyashma before Kriyashma Lamito is a different Indian. It's not for the sake of the mitzvah. That's for Shmira Men Amazikim. And Taisus says, you Yotze the Kriyashma from before. So there are Tanaim who claim that there are people who are going to sleep at Plaga Mincha. Sounds strange. That's where the Gemara has different opinions. So Tosis claims that Rabbi Yudah's opinion is that there are people going to sleep at the Plaga Mincha, and therefore that's his Zman Shchiva. The Rosh disagrees with the whole Tosis. The Rosh comments over there, the dispute between Rabbi Yudah and Chachamim is regarding the Zman HaMincha, the Zman HaMayriv, but not Kriyashma. No one ever said you can be out to Kriyashma after Plaga Mincha. No one's going to sleep at Plaga Mincha. The Tanoim, true, the Tanoim had many different opinions. One says Shkia, one says 5 minutes after Shkia, one says 5 minutes before Shkia, one says 10 minutes before Shkia. But nobody says an hour and a quarter before Shkia. So that's what Tosis claims like that. That just like Rabbi Yudah the Tana says you can daven Mayriv, Shmaresa Mayriv, after Plaga Mincha, so you can recite Kriyashma also after Plaga Mincha, that there are people going to sleep an hour and a quarter before nighttime. And the Rosh disagrees. He thinks that no one ever said that. Rabbi Yudah never said that.
What's the whole issue about whether Kriya Shema Shel Arvis can be said till just Chatzos or the whole night? In other words, doesn't that what exactly is the machloket there? Isn't it that Midrabanan we're afraid the person is not going to say it, forget to say it, so therefore we make a Chatzos?
Right, that's how the Gemara says only a Shaila Midrabanan. We're afraid if we'll allow people to daven so late, they'll fall asleep and they'll forget about davening.
But if the whole thing is with the Rabbanan to begin with, why are we so worried and make it just like so?
I mean, it's a gzeira l'gzeira. It's a chumra and a din de Rabbanan still, because they knew that it's human nature. Yeah. They know if you give them too much time to say Kriyashma, he's going to be negligent. You have to limit the time, so it'll be more responsible. So Taisus raised the question over here. What's the din? What about Sheva Brachos? You want to know. What about Hoetz? What about Ho'adama? What about Shahakal? What about Halil? What about Kiddush? So Taisus said, why doesn't the Mishnah say what the din is? The din probably is the same as Shemone Esrei. It can be Yotze in translation. Why doesn't it say? So they say, Belekel Meima, don't tell me that the answer is the Mishnah is only this thing off. Dinim Daraisa. Everything in the Mishnah is Daraisa. So they say it's not true. Kriyashma is the Rabbanan and Tefillah is only with the Rabbanan. Then Tosfos says, and they think that Kiddush is also Deraisa. How do they know that? The Ode, the Hasam, it says Brachas Daf Chof Amid Beis. There in Brachas Mashma, the Kiddush is Deraisa. So if you're telling me the Mishnah only listing of Dinam Deraisa and not Dinam Derabbanan, Halil is the Rabbanan. That's what the Gemara says. Birchas Hanenin, Birchas Hamitzvus are the Rabbanan. But Kiddush is the Raisa.
The Halil is the Raisa. It's against Halil.
The Baal Halachas Gedolos gives a list of the Taryag Mitzvahs. So he includes Halil in the Taryag Mitzvahs. So the Rambam attacks him. He lived way before the Rambam. So the Rambam makes fun of the Baal Halachas Gedolos and said, what did he include Halil? Halil is only the Rabbanan. It doesn't belong in the list of the Taryag Mitzvahs that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Ramban, to defend the Halachas Gedolos, suggests that maybe he was of the opinion that Halal was deraisa. But the going shita, and leaving out that Ramban, the general opinion was, Tosfos assumed like the Rambam, that halal is only Rabban, even when you say gans halal. When you say halb halal, it's only a minig. It's only a minig. When you say, that's a gemar. That's a gemar.
I thought it was
Rabbanon was a half halal. Gans halal is a madrega higher than halb halal. So the shaila is what's... So halb halal, the gemara says, only a minig. So gans halal, the Ramban suggests, according to Halachas Gedolos, maybe holds that it's a din derais. And Tosfos and the Rambam hold that, so it's only a din derabbanan. So Tosfos says you can't give the answer that the Mishnah here is only dealing with dinim deraisa, not dealing with din derabbanan. That's not going to answer Kiddush, because the Gemara is beferish that Kiddush is deraisa. Hosam davchof am beis, Kiddush is deraisa. And then they say, v'hachi mashmanami bereish nazir. The Gemara nazir also the Kiddush is deraisa. What does it say in nazir? That's very questionable what it says in Nazir. A Nazir is not allowed to drink wine. So some Gaonim read the Gemara that on Shabbos the Nazir is allowed to drink, is permitted to drink the wine of Kiddush. And then the Gemara says, why? Because it's Deraisa. He had no right to take an Eda Naziris in contradiction to the requirement. Minatari has to. Kiddush, not only Kiddush is Deraisa, reciting Kiddush, Kiddush alayayin and drinking the wine. Kiddush alayin and drinking the wine is all deraisa. That's how Tosfos read. Other Rishonim say that the Rabbeinu Tam says that that's not the way to read the Gemara there. The Gemara said that that's ridiculous, that drinking the wine is deraisa. Kiddush alayin we paskin. Alayin is only the Rabbanan. Drinking the wine is only the Rabbanan. Kiddush bedvarim is deraisa. Yeah, Kiddush bedvarim is deraisa. The Gemara is in Brachas, Daf Chaf, the first Gemara that they quote. Oh, the Hasa Mashma, that Kiddush is deraisa. But with the quote from the Gemara in Nazir that Kiddush is deraisa, that's only if you have the reading of the Gaonim, which the Balei HaTosfos made fun of. They said it cannot be that drinking the wine is also required in the Torah. That for sure is not correct.
So it's deraisa, so what?
No, they made it, they suggested, why didn't the Mishnah say that not only can Shmon Esri be recited in translation, why doesn't it say Kiddush can be recited in translation?
Well, maybe it couldn't be.
Maybe.
If it's deraisa, that doesn't mean it has to put in the Mishnah. Maybe it can't be.
So let it list it off in the other list. We're going to have two lists. So Kiddush and Hallel and Bracha, in neither list.
Okay,
so they suggested maybe the Mahalach is that the Mishnah is only dealing with the Din of deraisa. So it says, huh? Okay. Tana Visha. So that's going to be the answer. It's going to be Tana Visha. Okay. No shofar, there's no language. There's no Hebrew. I mean, the bracha on the shofar. Oh, the bracha on the shofar. That's what they want to know. Birchas HaMitzvah. What about the bracha on the shofar?
All the brachas.
Why doesn't the Mishnah say all brachas can be said in translation? And if you say they can't be said in translation, so let it list it off among those that cannot be said in translation. So that's what Tosfos is asking. Why did the Mishnah... So the answer is going to be Tana V'Shir. That's the answer. What, the Tana has to list off every single bracha? Everything's included in Tefillah and Shai. But Tosfos doesn't answer like that. So Tosfos comes up with a whopper of an answer that's based on the first Tosfos. We have the Girsa in the Mishnah, Ve'ela Namarim B'chol Oshem. The following mitzvahs of Kriya can be fulfilled in any language. So Tosfos says that's not correct. The correct reading should be Ve'ela Namarim Bil Shainam. The following mitzvahs of Kriya can be fulfilled in the language of the speaker. So Tosfos says Pirish, the first Tosfos in the Pirish, Kol Adam Bil Shono Shehu Shamea. You can recite Kiddush in English if you understand English. You can recite Kiddush in French if you understand French. What if I don't understand French? And someone gives me a text, they tell me that this text in French is a literal translation of the Kiddush in Hebrew. And as a shtick, I'm going to say the Kiddush in French. So will I be Yotze or not? So Tosfos says, when it says in the Mishnah, Elan Amar B'chol Oshen, is only a language that you understand, based on the Mishnah and Megillah. Mishnah Megillah says, if you read the Megillah in the original Hebrew, so even if you don't understand a word of Hebrew, everyone is Yotze. In the original Hebrew, that's Yotze. If you read the Megillah in a translation, the Megillah is written in translation, so you can read the Megillah, Legiftis, Legiftim, Ubimadis, Lemadim, and Yevanis for Yevanim, If the person understands the language in which the Megillah is written, so then it can be Yotze in translation. For the one who doesn't understand, it can't be Yotze in translation. So Taisa says that's what the Girsa should be. Shouldn't say Elan Amar Mechaloshin, it should say Elan Amar Bilashaynam. The following mitzvahs of Amira can be fulfilled in translation if you understand that language. Fine. So now Taisa says, and now the second Taisa says, how come the Mishnah doesn't say Bar Pri Hadoma and Alachilas Matzeh and Hallel and Kiddush? How come it? So Taisa says, no, that's a third category. The first part of the Mishnah is Elan Amar and Bilashaynam. The following can be recited in translation if you understand. The second category in the Mishnah, Duchening, has to be in Hebrew. He can't do it in translation. Then there's a third category that's not mentioned in the Mishnah, Bar Pri Hadoma in Kiddush and Hallel and in Birchas HaMitzvahs, that can be recited in translation even if you don't understand. That's why it doesn't say it in the Mishnah. It's a third category. We don't paskin like that. We don't paskin like that.
In translation, you're losing the meaning.
A lot of times. A lot of times it means it's not a good translation. You have to have a good translation. That's one of the tainus that Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius had. He said if you look in the German translation of the Siddur, they have mistakes. So he points out some of the mistakes that they had. They had mistakes in translating the words. And this is how about Tikanto Shabbos Ratzisa coming up. Zivisa Berisha im Sidure Nisocheho. So he said, what does it mean in Sidur Nisachel? So usually they translate with the Yayin, with the Nisach HaYayin, the wine that they poured on the Mizbeah. So he says, the Beis Yosef quotes from Navu Dram that that's not what it means. The word Sidur Nisachel means that they put the Lechem upon him on the Ksois HaNosach, which were the shelves on the Shulchan. So the word Sidur Nisachel means Sidur Lechem upon him on Nisachel, not pouring any wine, no liquid. And Nisachel means on the Ksois HaNosach were the shelves of the Shulchan. So he says, you see, they have a mistake. Then he points out a couple of other mistakes in the German translation of the Siddur. They're hard words to translate. Okay. So this Chiddush that Taisus comes up with, Mishnah Berurah says we don't paskin like this. We paskin Tana Bashir. We assume that everything is included. When the Mishnah says Tfilah, Shmon Esrei, can be recited in translation, provided you understand it, we assume the same is true by Sheva Brachas and by Birchas HaNehen and Birchas HaMitzvahs and Hallel. Yeah, Birchas HaTorah DeRaisa, right, all of these. It has a Nusach, if you say in Hebrew, you're Yotze, even if you don't understand. And we say in translation, only those people are Yotze who do understand, like it says in the Mishnah Megillah. That's how we paskin. But it's interesting, that argument was presented by Achreinim, and that's the accepted opinion. They only have in the Rishonim, they just had this Taisvis, and Achreinim just said they can't take it. They're not gonna accept the Chiddush that Taisvis came up with. There's a third category. That the first part of the Mishnah, Elan Amar and Bil Shaynam, the following mitzvahs of Amira can be fulfilled in translation if you do understand. And the second part of the Mishnah, the following can only be fulfilled in the original Hebrew. And then there's a third part in the Mishnah that's missing about things that can be fulfilled in translation even if you don't understand what you say. So Taisus came up with a whole new Mishnah, a whole new din. All those brachas that are left out belong to a third category. So the Achreinim say they can't accept that, and that's how we assume that it's really Tana Bashir. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. This week is Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, so we recite the special Haftarah from Shamayim Kisi, from the last chapter in Yeshaya. The difficult psukim there in Yeshayim. A lot of the Nevi'im are difficult psukim. So one of the psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki kasher ha-shamayim ha-chadoshim b'ho'aretz ha-chadosho. Where is it? Towards the end of the Haftarah. Ki kasher ha-shamayim ha-chadoshim b'ho'aretz ha-chadosho. Asher ha-niyah oseh, omdim lefanai, niyum Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. What's going to be a new heaven and a new earth? And this is going to be of a lasting nature. Omdim lefanai, niyum Hashem kein, so too, yamod zarechem ishimchem. So too, the descendants of the Jewish people and the good, the good reputation of the Jewish people will be lasting. The goyim won't make fun of us anymore. We'll have descendants, the Jewish people of Zarahem. We will last on and on. Imos HaMashiach. And the Jewish reputation will be maintained. So what is this referring to? Hashamayim HaChadoshim V'Horetz HaChadoshot. What is that referring to? So the Toldos Aharon always has on the Chumash, in the big Chumash. He always gives you the cross references to all the Gemaras. Once in a while he gives you a cross reference to a Zohar. So I didn't look it up. I just noticed Toldos Aharon has a Zohar. That's a Zohar that the Rav Chaim Volozhiner quotes in the Nefesh HaChaim. Rav Chaim Volozhiner wrote a whole sefer to present the Misnagdash Hashkofas, because the Baal HaTanya preceded him. The first Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote the Tanya, which is all Hashkofa, and it's all based on a lot of Zohars. So he wanted to show what the Misnagdash version is. That's 98%, 99%. They say exactly the same thing and they quote the same Zohars. The only difference is that the Baal HaTanya explains it better. Baal HaTanya translates it into Hebrew and he connects it with Agaritas Gemara, makes it more understandable. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner just quotes the Zohar and he's hanging there. You have to know how to read Aramaic. You have to know the language of the Zohar is not the same as Gemara language. It's a more difficult Aramaic. So Kemat, everything they say exactly the same. So in the Nefesh HaChaim he has one section that's all about Limud HaTorah. That's the Misnagdash angle. That's what he wanted to emphasize, the importance of Limud HaTorah. He has a whole section, a whole shiur about how important Limud HaTorah is. So he says, the pasuk says, "Im lo brisi yomam alayla chukashmai vortzlai samti." So that's understood to mean, if not for the fact that people are learning Torah, yomam valayla, the world would return back to tov avo. The Gemara says that tonight hisna kodesh bocha ma'isid bereshis. When the Rabbanu Shalom created the world, so he created everything, and he said everything will last on the condition that the Jewish people will accept the Torah at Har Sinai. If at Har Sinai the Jews will reject the Torah, no one's going to accept the Torah, so the whole world will return back to tov avo. So that's why it says Yom HaShishi Vaychul HaShemayim V'Horetz V'Chol Tzom. Why does it say Yom HaShishi with the Hey HaYidiyah? On the other days it doesn't have a Hey HaYidiyah. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, Yom HaShishi is Vav Sivan. When it came Vav Sivan and the Jewish people accepted the Torah, so then it was Vaychul HaShemayim V'Horetz V'Chol Tzom, the world got its lasting kiyum. If not for the Kabbalah Sater HaSinai, the world would have fallen back into Tov Vavo. So that's how the Gemara understands the Pasuk. If not for the fact that the Jewish people accepted the Torah, so the Chukesh Mayim Vayis Lo Samti, God wouldn't have created the world. But more than that, the Vilna Gaon said, it's more than that. The fact that the Jews keep on learning the Torah is what keeps the world going. That's why Chaim Olajan adds on, it's a mazel that the world is a globe. So when we're sleeping, when we go to sleep, so the Jews on the other side of the world are learning. So there's learning going on 24 hours a day. And that's what keeps the world going. So that's part of Melo Brisi Yomam Valoilo, the fact that Bnei Yisrael are learning the Torah is referred to by the Novi as Bris, Chukeshman was like something, the world wouldn't continue to exist. So this is Hashemayim V'Horetz that we know of. What is Hashemayim HaChadoshim V'Horetz HaChadosho? So the Zohar says, just like when Bnei Yisrael learned Torah, we're learning the Gemara with the Tosfos, with the Shulchan Aruch, with the Chumash, so we preserve the world that we know. So what did Bnei Yisrael amechadish chidush Torah? Tonight we said over a chidush. For the Achrayim who disagree, but Taisa said a chidush. The Achrayim disagree. Mishnah Berurah said a chidush, and those who disagree. So the Isaiah says when Bnei Yisrael say chidush Torah, so this creates shamayim achadoshim v'horetz achadosho. The regular world that the Rabban Shalom created in Sheshes and Bereishes is kept going by virtue of the fact that we are just mavesedra. We just learn Mishnayos and we learn about Sushtei. And when we're Mechadosh Torah, then this creates Shemaim Chadoshim V'Nohoretz HaChadosho. And the Rebbeinu Shalom appreciates this very much. He loves Chidush Torah. That's the Loshon that the Zohar has. Kud Shebrichu Chodi B'Pilpulei Deraisa. The Rebbeinu Shalom appreciates Chidushim. That's how the Medrash comments on the Pasuk in Shiraz Devaira. The Jewish people sinned. In the days of Dvar, they started to worship Avodah Zarah. So in Shiraz Dvar, she says, that's the Haftarah B'Shalach. So she says, Yifchar Elohim Chadashim Oz Lachem Sh'orim. When the Jewish people chose to worship Avodah Zarah, Yivchar Elohim Chadoshim, they choose to worship Avodah Zarah. Oz Lachem Sharm, so there was Melchama as a punishment for the Jewish peoples worshipping Avodah Zarah. So the Baruch Shalom brought Melchama into the cities of Eretz Yisrael, and the Jewish people were not prepared for that. Moginim Yerova, Raimach Barboi Melopi, so they didn't have any weapons to fight back. So that's the Pshutu Shal Mikra. So the Yalkut Shemayni has an additional level of interpretation, and that pasuk that the word Elohim is Lashon Kodesh. Yivchar Elohim Chadoshim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses and cherishes Chidush HaTorah. The Rabbanu Shalom loves Chidush HaTorah. The Pasha B'Shat and the Pasuk means Yivchar Elohim Chadoshim. The Jewish people chose new gods to replace the Rabbanu Shalom. And the Medrash Yalkut Shemayni has in Gansen, Dreit Ibe the Gansen B'Shat, Yivchar Elohim Lashon Kodesh, the Rabbanu Shalom chooses, he appreciates Chadoshim. He loves Chidush HaTorah. So to make the Rabbanu Shalom happy, Oz Lachem Sharim. So the Talmid HaChachamim make Melcham to Shaltera. So we fight with Taisus, and we fight with the Mishnah Brura, and we make Pilpulim in order to make Chidushim. We want to make the Rabbanu Shalom happy. So that's what the Zohar comments on this Pasuk. HaShamayim HaChadoshim V'Oretz HaChadoshah is that part of the Briya that's created through the Chidush HaTorah B'nei Yisrael. The regular Shamayim V'Oretz is held up, is maintained, due to the fact that we learn Vasishtet, we learn Tanakh, and we learn Mishnais, and we learn Gemara. It's below Brisi Yom Lailachu Kishmai Maslai something. And when we are Machadosh Chidush HaTorah, this enables the Rabbanu Shel Olam to make Shamayim Machadoshim Varos HaChadosha, which he wants to make. He wants to continue the Briya. He appreciates the Chidush HaTorah, and all of our Chidush HaTorah accomplished something in the Briya. It's an original interpretation. That's the Zoya. Yeah, next week is Yom Atzmut. The people have functions on Yom Atzmut on Tuesday night.
This is the best function.
So we'll have it on Tuesday night. Okay. Good.
The Rosenhof. I think my nephew, Steve Weiss, I think he's with you. He's under you.
He's
in the Smicho program.
Steve Weiss. Remember who it is? Okay. Come today. Oh.